Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
John Guandolo is our guest for this extraordinarily important, very special hour-long presentation of Secure Freedom Radio. These days, he is the president and the founder of Understanding the Threat. You can find his work at understandingthethreat.com. He has been an extraordinary resource, leader, combatant in the war for the free world, both in uniform and at the FBI. And John, you just need to finish up your story about your time at the FBI, the purge, and what you have been doing since.
Well, so after I had this email exchange with Assistant Director John Miller, that exchange actually was somebody picked it up. I don't even know how that exchange got picked up, whether Miller shared it with somebody or something, but it went viral across the FBI. I mean, I was getting calls and emails from all over the FBI of me dressing down the assistant director for his ignorance of the threat. And so because of that, he launched an internal investigation on me for insubordination and disrespect. But the FBI director at the time had a policy that exchange is something Mueller actually encouraged. In other words, you can have an open exchange, and it was never, went beyond the bounds of that. And Miller wasn't even in my chain of command. So that went nowhere, but that really blew up, headquarters, anger at me. And what ended up happening was headquarters, because of my training, was getting calls from the CIA, from the NSA, from the Department of Defense to request me as a speaker. And it was making them angry because I was just a case agent at the field office. I wasn't in training division at Quantico, and I wasn't in the CT training section up at headquarters. So all of that, essentially what they did over time, and I was able to run early in 2007, I was able to quietly run another program with the Park Police. But anyway, when that was ended, that was it. And so what ended up happening was I took so much heat that they eventually pulled me out of the CT division. They put me on a surveillance unit. And as my buddies on the surveillance unit said, now that they've given you a lot of time, free time during the day with a phone and a computer, and they knew that I was going to wreak havoc, and I did. Finally, I was given the order, you cannot speak about this topic. You cannot email about this topic. And if you do, we are going to open up another internal investigation. So, essentially, I became dead in the water. And I had met some people at the Department of Defense who said, look, we think you need to stay in the FBI, but if you ever kind of go dead in the water, let us know. And I did. And to my surprise, they offered me a job and said, can you start tomorrow? Well, what it meant was at the end of December 2000 or the beginning of December 2008, they recruited me out of the FBI to significantly more pay and a heck of a lot more freedom. And I went out and I briefed members of Congress, heads of Judiciary, Intel, Homeland Security committees, 3- and 4-star generals and admirals. And what I found was the level of understanding among those people was no better than it was of the average FBI agent in the Bureau. There was no understanding of Sharia, no understanding of the broader network and how they operated both in the United States and internationally. And so when that program that I worked with in 2012 was defunded by the Obama administration, then I created Understanding the Threat to continue the work. And that's what I'm doing now.
And that work, John, again, I cannot say how highly I regard it. Talk a little bit about the training you're doing now. Who are the audiences you're speaking to? What kind of response are you getting from them with respect to their level of awareness before the training, their understanding of the problem afterwards?
Right. So the goal in understanding, when you understand the nature of this battle and how penetrated, as you said earlier, we are, not just at the federal level, the way the Muslim Brotherhood works at the state level with state legislatures, with school boards, with businesses, chambers of commerce, I mean, the whole nine yards, with interfaith outreach. When you look at how organized they are, this problem has to be solved at the local level. Local police, with the support of local citizens, going after these organizations and leaders in the Islamic movement here in the United States and really uprooting them from the community and dealing with them using, you know, very aggressive means legally here in the United States.
Now, let me just ask you, this is an important point that I just want to make sure you're speaking to directly, John Guandolo, and that is that you have concluded on the basis of your very considerable experience with these things that what we are actually confronting at this point isn't just this civilization jihad and the, you know, sort of building out of an infrastructure for perhaps the more violent kind in the future, but we're actually dealing with what you call an insurgency. And that using your knowledge and experience with counter-insurgency doctrine and practice, that it really does require those local authorities to be kind of the pointy end of the spear. Is that right?
That is exactly right. And we're seeing, and what we have seen for several years, is the Islamic movement working directly with the hard left Marxist movement, cooperating with each other to bring about the same end, which is the overthrow of the U.S. government. And we detail this. And so what we believe is the most important element, the goal is to get law enforcement trained so they understand this, and I'll speak about this in a second, but they have to have the backing of the citizens. So we believe sheriffs and pastors are the two most important leader groups, if you will, that need to understand this threat. And what we're finding is the best way to get that done is to get citizens, you know, whether it's political groups, civic groups, church groups, to get this information in large numbers. And then what they're able to do is go to their sheriffs who they have a personal relationship with because they supported them in their elections and whatever, to bring the training in and then spread and then go to their pastors and encourage them to speak truth about this. And that is like wildfire that's catching, because what we do in our 3-day law enforcement program is we spend a whole day on the overview of the threat and on Sharia, which the enemy says in the Islamic movement is the basis for everything they do. An entire day on the network, the Muslim Brotherhood network, the Shia network, the Iranian network, the Tabliki network, it's all working as a part of the Islamic network here and the hard left Marxists, how they work together.
Even though they seemingly have very different characteristics or at least longer term agendas.
That's right. And in the end, the Islamic movement will destroy those in the left, the Marxist movement, but it doesn't matter. They'll still achieve the goal, according to them, of overthrowing the U.S. government, because that's their intent. And on the third day of this 3-day law enforcement program, we literally show them how knowing this information changes the statement of facts that go into probable cause, reasonable suspicion, how it changes interviews, what you see on a search warrant, traffic stops, and how you can investigatively map out the network and go after this network. And we're the only ones in the country doing it, which is why we're taking so much heat. And to answer your key question, the response to the training is all of the law enforcement that we train, including people from the FBI Joint Terrorism Task Force, tell us we've never heard this information, number one, and number two, it's critical to protecting the communities in which these, you know, law enforcement people are working in.
Yeah, indeed, the country as well, needless to say. And John, this is why I regard what you do with your training program, understanding the threat, to be such an indispensable and continuing public service, and why we're proud to support you, and including having one of our own, Claire Lopez, participating in many of your programs. This is vital work. I'm so proud of you for doing it. And when we come back, I want to talk about, finally, both how the willful blindness is affecting policy in the Trump administration and what we can do about that. That and more in our final installment with John Guandolo, straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Hi, this is Frank Gaffney. My day job is running the Center for Security Policy, which each weeknight brings you this program. But Secure Freedom Radio is just one of the important contributions the Center makes to the common defense. We call our team the Special Forces in the War of Ideas. Find out more about the Center for Security Policy and how you can help keep its Special Forces team in the fight by visiting securefreedom.org. Many thanks.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.